There's always something happening right here on 1460 AM and worldwide at WVOX.com.
Just in touch with what's going on today.
Where many different voices are heard in the land.
1460 WVOX.
Welcome to Brand Talk, the only show on radio where Brandy gets personal, here on WVOX Radio 1460 on your AM dial. I'm John Tantillo, the marketing doctor, and we're here to talk about brands, your personal brand, your career brand, and even your business brand, sponsored exclusively today by the Whitmore Group, where a relationship is a partnership. Folks, for those of you joining us for the first time, this show is about brands and transitions and how the science and psychology of branding can help change your relationships for the better, your career or business for the better, your life for the better, so that you can become the brand you are truly meant to be. And, folks, this is a call-in show. It's your show, and we want to hear from you. So if you have a brand question, if you're going through a transition, you have some ideas about branding, why don't you give us a call at 914-636-0110, and let's talk your brand through. It's 914-636-0110. Or email us at doc@brandtalkradio.com, doc@brandtalkradio.com. That phone number again, 914-636-0110. And if you have missed any of our shows and you'd like to see what topics we have talked about in the past, why don't you go to the website, which is brandtalkradio.com, and you can pick up archive shows. And today's opener is the question, just what is your brand? And yesterday, I had lunch with a potential client, and I've known him years socially. And we have attended events around the city, and we've always had very, very pleasant conversation. And I have been a long admirer of the brand that he managed and wanted the opportunity to sit down and talk with him about us working together. And so it happened where we finally got together after juggling our busy schedules. And the lunch was absolutely wonderful. We shared appetizers, and that's always a good sign, folks, when you're with somebody and you share not necessarily with the same fork or eating from the same plate, but just the concept of sharing food and breaking bread with somebody. And we did that. And then I decided to be bad. I generally don't order dessert, and I have a thing for carrot cake. And so I decided I was going to order the carrot cake. And he said, no, and order the meringue layer cake. And I said, and he says, I'm not going to have any. So I know what that meant. I mean, we were sharing appetizers. So anyway, I ordered the meringue cake, which was four layers. It was absolutely one of the best desserts I've had in a long time. And what that did is it kind of, the sharing of the food and the conversation just led to a wonderful, wonderful hour and a half being with this grand brand. And we discussed the philosophies of the brand and the potential of working together. And then he said something, and it's one of those moments that you're kind of, you can't believe you're hearing what he's saying, because you have so much respect for the man. And he said something like, he didn't say something like, he said that I was a person that he learns a great deal from, and that he has respect for those types of folks and appreciates people like me and likes to surround himself with people like me because he loved to learn. And wow, that was nothing more powerful. And even though I did not get the contract, I received probably something more important, and that is the gift of someone appreciating my brand, and not only appreciating my brand, but recognizing my brand. And if I can help you do that, then this, I feel that we have done our job here at Brand Talk on WVOX Radio, where you can give us a call at 914-636-0110. But this serendipitous event at lunch, yesterday was a day, because that was just the beginning. So I get back to my office and I get a phone call from a producer friend of mine who has asked me to that there was a story, and he wanted me to provide a brand angle to the story, that no one was looking at this story, fast-breaking story, from a brand perspective. And he asked me for my input on that. And once again, this idea of being teacher or information provider, two would be fine. But then I get my call from my producer, Jonathan, from Australia, who says to me, I relate these stories, and and he says, well, no, that's your brand. That you have even taught me a great deal about branding and marketing, and how now I have a newfound appreciation for that. And this, folks, is not to promote my brand, but to get us, to get you to take a look at what I have learned so that you can learn from my experience, which is you can sometimes find what your brand is when you least expect it. And that's why you always have to listen. You always have to have your eyes open, and you always have to evaluate what people are saying so that you can become the brand you are truly meant to be. And so I like to thank my friends for making yesterday my personal brand discovery day. And maybe today will be your personal brand discovery day. And so if you want to give me a call at 914-636-0110 here on Brand Talk, heard exclusively on WVOX Radio, 1460 on your AM dial, give us a call or email me at doc@brandtalkradio.com. That's doc@brandtalkradio.com. Some other things that I just would like to run past you is that next week, October 9th through 11th, I'll be visiting Detroit, Michigan, and I'm going to be making a presentation at the IABC conference. That's the International Association of Business Communicators, where I'll be discussing a concept that I've been promoting called targeted relations instead of public relations. And if you heard my little piece on Ben and Jerry's last week, ice cream, and how it's all about your target market and who really cares what the general public thinks about what you're doing. It's all about what your target market thinks. That's what we're going to be talking about. And as I mentioned last week, if you like more information about this event, just email me at doc@brandtalkradio.com, and I'll provide you all the information, see what I can do in terms of getting you into the event. And also that week, I'm going to be on a panel talking about viral and guerrilla marketing. That's going to be on October the 14th, and I'll be able to provide more information about that. I think it's at the Millennium Hotel. And once again, just give me a ring-a-ding-ding at doc@brandtalkradio.com. And that DCM is called the Digital Content Monetization Conference in New York City, where if you're a writer or a provider of information, how do you get paid for it? So anyway, that's what in fact is going on. And like I said, if you'd like to give us a call, we're at 914-636-0110. That's 914-636-0110 or doc@brandtalkradio.com. And what I like to do now is for you to hear a word from our sponsor, the Whitmore Group, where a relationship is a partnership.
Folks, insurance is something that we usually don't like to talk about. But at the Whitmore Group, they know how. Whether it's for your business or your home, the Whitmore Group is the place to go. That's where I go for my insurance needs, and I never doubt that they're looking out for me. Simply put, with James Metzger at the helm and his excellent team, your insurance needs are always taken care of. Whether it's commercial property and casualty, personal or health insurance, estate planning, or financial services, the Whitmore Group is where a relationship is a partnership. 516-746-4141 is the number to call. 516-746-4141 or on the web at whitmoregroup.com. And tell them Dr. Tantillo sent you.
And we're back. My name is Dr. John Tantillo, and you're listening to Brand Talk, the only show on radio where branding gets personal, here on WVOX 1460 on your AM dial. A lot of things have been happening this week. And, you know, I always talk about transitions, and I just couldn't believe this. They were all screaming about this today on the news. The Simpsons have lost their audience, you know, after being on the air for about 22 years. And the producers have asked the characters, the actors actually, that play the characters, are you ready for this? For a 40% decrease in salary. They say that the financial model is no longer workable. Folks, this is an entertainment medium they're having difficulty with. I mean, it's just unbelievable what's going on. So we have that going on, and if you'd like to chime in, we'd love to hear from you. 914-636-0110. And then, of course, everybody was also talking about, as they like to say, PATA, people are talking about the Apple 4S for Siri, which is going to be your personal assistant in your hands, right? And so that's another thing. And a lot of the the tech folks aren't very, very happy with it. And I guess the jury will be out as to whether or not there's enough functionality or new functionality, that is, to this new model. But There you go. As a matter of fact, the stock, Apple stock, decreased because the word on the street wasn't it was that it wasn't that that impressive. But anyway, which leads us to our winner and a loser of the week. And folks, each week I choose two brands that I believe have either exceeded or failed in basic brand fundamentals so that you can implement the takeaways into your own brand life. And without any further ado, our winner of the week is Andy Rooney. And this Sunday, Andy Rooney finally signed off, leaving 60 minutes after 33 years. And to endure in the competitive marketplace that is television is a genuine achievement. But to endure as Andy Rooney did from his intrepid World War II reportage through his career as a writer at the very beginning of television and into his groundbreaking news specials on civil rights, well, that's simply legendary, and it's time to step back and honor a truly great brand. Rooney will probably dislike the term brand when applied to him. In fact, he probably would devote one of his curmudgeonly 60-minute tele-essays just to demolish it. But try as I must, the term will still apply. You see, this man, who was born in 1919, was almost from the beginning of his career a distinct and consistent brand. Hard-hitting reporter, brave, funny, curmudgeonly, as far as a 20-something can be, a talented scribe, and recognizable. Whether it was climbing aboard a B-17 to report Americans' first daylight bombing raid over Germany, or covering the liberation of Paris and later the concentration camps, Rooney was always himself. And it was that same brand who would later be arrested during a civil rights protest in the 1940s, years before Rosa Parks' famous arrest. But folks, it is endurance as the crankiest man on television that is perhaps the most impressive aspect of the man. After all, when he started to deliver what he likes to refer to as his essays on 60 Minutes, he was just a 59-year-old veteran reporter filling in. But his segments instantly became popular, and he stayed. His last essay was 1,097th. This is the point. We, the audience, might think complacently that Rooney was just a TV fixture who nobody could get rid of, and that why he stayed around so long. No, that's plain wrong. Fact is, he brought in ratings. You don't get through a long career being cranky and outspoken and not generate an outside share of controversy as Rooney did. He was labeled a racist, despite his civil rights arrest long before the birth of most of his accusers, and despite those special reports he did for CBS in the 60s and 70s. He got in trouble by his perceived anti-gay remarks in the 1990s, for which he later expressed remorse. In fact, Rooney was suspended for those remarks, but the original suspension of 3 months was quickly cut back to 1 month when 60 Minutes ratings dropped by a full 20% in Rooney's absence. So he stuck around because he was never just an old, cantankerous fixture on the TV scene. He was a constant contributor and adder of value. He brought those ratings in as the media landscape grew even more competitive. One last critical part of his brand. Rooney didn't see himself didn't see himself first and foremost as a TV guy. He saw himself as a writer. And folks, this is very, very important. How do you perceive yourself? I don't perceive myself as a writer. I perceive myself as a teacher. And this is all very important when it comes to a brand, of which Mr. Rooney knew what he was. And he was a writer for Arthur Godfrey. And if those of you remember Arthur Godfrey, how are ya, how are ya, how are ya, as he used to play the ukulele, and Gary Moore's variety shows. And he also built his skills and showed his talent. And as a writer, he won Emmy Awards, 3 Writers Guild Awards, and has also scribed a number of books. And, I mean, he was just that kind of a guy. And so I would just like to say my hat's off to this man. And but if you see him in the street or don't ask for his autograph, he'll tell you to buzz off. And I do have a real-life Andy Rooney experience. I was at the City University for an event about a year ago. A friend of mine, girlfriend of mine, asked me if I would attend. And when somebody asks whether or not I attend, I'm always on my best behavior. I never want to make a mistake. And, of course, you know, I make no secret that I like to dress differently. And what I mean by that is I like to dress fairly. I'm always with a Brooks Brothers suit. I dress that people can't forget me. And Andy Rooney said to me, "What do you do?" And I told him, and we started talking. And a photographer was coming around taking pictures. And, you know, as a friend of mine once said, to ask permission is to seek denial. But I was, once again, with a friend. It wasn't my event. And I said to Mr. Rooney, "Mr. Rooney, would you mind a picture?" And he said to me, "I rather not." And so I did not take a picture. There's more to the story, is that the friend that he was with pulled me aside and said, "You should never have asked him. You should have simply had the picture taken." I'm just not that kind of a guy. But anyway, so that's my Andy Rooney story. But he was very charming to me. The only thing he didn't do is he didn't give me that photo that I would have loved. And I really did appreciate his brand. And what about our loser? Well, you know, our loser this week is going to be HP. Even though a few weeks ago I had mentioned that they were a winner. And the problem was that, I said that they were a winner because they decided to kill their tablet. But what I didn't find is how that decision caused chaos to their resellers. And so there was trouble in them there hills. And what this is really all about, I did some research and found out, is that it was all about the HB board not knowing exactly what's best for the brand. And to confuse things even more, the HB board booted Leo Apotheker, the European superstar, and appointed Meg Whitman, its American superstar CEO, for the role. And it's no wonder that the HB board had been labeled the worst corporate board in history, because they hired this fellow Apotheker without first having met the full board, and with the soon-to-become-aware alert that this fellow Apotheker had really no consumer electronics experience. Not a wise move. And now what they're doing is they're hiring Meg Whitman, and you remember who she is. She was eBay's CEO and who spent $100 million running for Senate in California that Jerry Brown eventually won. So this is not the the best way to go. So anyway, can she in fact, you know, rescue the company? I'm not sure. And, you know, there are plenty of examples of outsiders rescuing companies, like Lou Gerstner did that for IBM and Iacocca for Chrysler. And that what the jury is out. But the problem with HP is that since 1999, they've had six CEOs. And that according to The Economist, there were outsiders filled about 15% of the CEO's vacancies. And by 2000, by the early 2000s, the number had doubled. So, folks, there's nothing wrong with finding the best CEO, as The Economist points out. Jack Welch was a GE outsider, but and he, in fact, increased GE by more than 4,500%. But we're going to go get into this in more detail after our break. So we're going to continue with more Brand Talk callers. Did you know that? Right after our commercial break.
World and national news three times an hour. Here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio, I'm Pam Puso. The White House urging action on President Obama's jobs bill.
He's spending a lot of time focusing on this, as he should be, because it is the number one priority of this administration, this president, and this American public.
Spokesman Jay Carney, part of the problem with the nearly $450 billion plan is how to pay for it. Republicans remain opposed to tax hikes. The slurred speech of Michael Jackson heard again today at the trial of his doctor.
Will you be there? The lost children.
The pop star telling Dr. Conrad Murray during a recorded phone conversation that he wants to build a hospital for children.
The prosecution using this tape, too, to prove in their point that Dr. Murray should have seen this, as a doctor should have recognized the fact that Jackson was having trouble with these sedatives.
Fox's Adam Housley in Los Angeles. Dr. Conrad Murray is charged with involuntary manslaughter. Fox News, we report, you decide.
With your latest up-to-date forecast, here's Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather, exclusively on WVOX Worldwide.
Bright sunshine continues for the afternoon. Our high temperatures in the lower 70s. Northwest winds at 15 to 20, a bit gusty this afternoon. It'll be clear tonight. Overnight low temperatures towards daybreak. The coolest temperatures are around sunrise in the mid-40s. Sunny weather on Thursday. Thursday's highs in the middle 60s. Thursday night, it'll be clear, mid-40s again. Friday, sunshine back up to around 67. Both on Saturday and Sunday, plenty of sunshine, mid-70s, upper 70s, for later Sunday and Columbus Day Monday. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for WVOX Worldwide, WVIP HD.
Sunny skies, 68 degrees.
Your autumn checklist. Make sure the furnace works.
Check.
Get the heavy coats out of storage.
Check.
And make sure your radio is locked right here for fall fun at VOX.
1460 WVOX.
We are back. You're listening to Brand Talk on WVOX Radio 1460 on your AM dial. My name is Dr. John Tantillo. And if you would like to talk about whether or not today is your brand discovery day What is your brand? What is your family's brand? What is your career brand? Do you have a business that needs a brand? Why don't you give us a call at 914-636-0110. That's 914-636-0110. Or if email is your game, it's doc@brandtalkradio.com. That's doc@brandtalkradio.com. And at the break, we were speaking about our good friends at HP and their love of bringing in outside talent. And there's nothing wrong with outside talent, because every once in a while, as we know from our IBM, Gerstner needed to shake things up at IBM because their culture was simply not responding to the client's needs, and that there were but there is something that was mentioned in this article by The Economist, and that is that research shows that the more dazzling the outside recruit, the worse the person performs in the new role. And this is something that I think HP should in fact consider. And they don't want to go too far from what their brand is. And there you go. And our takeaway here is, without brand consistency, there can be no brand longevity. And we have a caller on the line. Caller, what's your name? What's your brand? Where are you from?
Hi, marketing doctor. This is Charlie.
Yes.
From Long Island.
Yes. What's your name, bud?
I just wanted to call in and make a comment today.
Okay,
about,
sure.
The power of focus when it pertains to your brand.
I'm having trouble hearing you.
Hi, how is this?
Yeah, that's much better.
Okay, I wanted to make a comment today about the power of focusing when you're creating your brand.
Go ahead.
Something that's really, really struck me the other day as I was meeting some new people and talking about what I do.
Mm-hmm.
I am.
What do you do?
I'm a software developer,
mm-hmm.
and recently I've been thinking about, you know, particularly what I do best.
Mm-hmm.
And it struck me that the client relationships that were best for me are clients who are more entrepreneurial minded, you know, mid-sized businesses that are launching new lines of business or looking for ways to do something new with their customers.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that made sense because, you know, both me and other people in my company have a strong entrepreneurial business startup background.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than just telling people that I'm a software developer and we can do everything, we started focusing on saying that we work best with entrepreneurial-minded companies, with startups and people who want to launch products and launch new lines of business. And that has made all the difference in the world in describing to people what we do and I think becoming more memorable.
Wow.
Rather than just being a software developer and people saying, oh, that's nice. You can see the wheels turning where you're saying, if you know anyone who wants to
mm-hmm.
build a new application or
yeah.
create an iPhone, yeah. a smartphone product,
yeah.
we're the people to do it.
Wait, you know what you did here, Charlie? Is it Charlie or is it a caller?
Charlie.
Charlie, okay. What you did here is you began to think about your customer or your, as I like to talk about, the target market. You were not worried about just yourself. Well, what do? I'm a software developer. Well, that might mean something to you, but what does it mean to potential customers or prospects? What you've done is you've made that easier for them to connect the dots. And any way that you can do that in the branding process is going to make your brand stronger. My Borsellino is off to you. That is really very, very good. And for you to see it and learn it for yourself, I mean, is even more, more supportive. Is there anything else that you would like to say?
Well, the first reaction in doing that is you're narrowing your market. You're
yes.
you're limiting your target market.
Right.
And we can develop software for other people in different other situations, but by narrowing it, we've became a so much bigger force within that small market. That
sure.
It, you know, in the end, it's become bigger. So it's
yes.
know,
no
power of saying no. That I'm not doing everything. I'm focusing on a narrow.
And that is the temptation when one needs income or to generate income. You want to say yes to everything. And I have learned that it's sometimes better not to get involved with projects or with companies or individuals that are not going to help you in your brand and where you can be most helpful. And, you know, I deal with that, and I deal with clients like that that have to make those decisions all the time. So that's
exactly.
really very that's great.
Addition by subtraction.
Addition. Hey, I got to remember that. Addition by subtraction. Well,
right,
thanks, Charlie, for calling in. That's was really great.
Thank you.
Bye. So if you would like to share with us any of your thoughts about a brand, your brand, a company brand that you're thinking about rolling out, give us a call here on WVOX 1460 on your AM dial at 914-636-0110. That's 914-636-0110. And now, folks, it's time for the perennial crowd favorite, Dr. John Tantillo's Did You Know That? Did You Know is where little-known facts are brought center stage for your delight, amazement, and dare I say, your continuing education. And now, Did You Know That?
This is Dr. John Tantillo asking, Did You Know That? A superstar in his own time and a literary legend today, Mark Twain personified the inventive spirit of the 19th century. Known as the father of American literature, this mustachioed genius in the white suit brought Huck Finn and Tom Sawyer to life. He was the confidant of U.S. presidents and European royalty. But he had another side, and I guarantee that you will be surprised at what you owe to Mr. Twain. But first, a word from our sponsor. I've known James Metzger, the Whitmore Group CEO, for years. I'm a client and a friend, and I have seen how he fights for his clients and strives to meet their genuine insurance needs. Folks, it's bad to pay for insurance you don't need, but it's worse to think you're protected and then find out you're not. You want the right kind of professionals having your back. The Whitmore Group has your back. It's where a relationship is a partnership. Their number, 516-746-4141, 516-746-4141, or visit them on the web at whitmoregroup.com and tell them Dr. Tantillo sent you. You see, Mark Twain was a lover of science. He spent hours in Tesla's lab, but it was on his own that Twain devised the two inventions that affected tens of millions of lives. A collector of articles and photos, Twain wanted an easier way to store and view his collection. Then one day he had an idea, the self-pasting scrapbook. But his second invention had an even greater impact, one that Twain himself never intended. You see, Twain was convinced that there was a better way to hold up pants than suspenders. So he invented an ingenious elastic strap with clip and patented it. The invention was never used for pants, but it was used for brassieres, even to this day. And now you can say, Yes, I know that.
You're listening to Brand Talk on WVOX AM Radio 1460 on your AM dial. I'm Dr. John Tantillo, your host. And if you're in transition, if you are want to take stock of your life, if you want to rebrand yourself, no question is too big or too small. Give us a call, 914-636-0110, 914-636-0110, or doc@brandtalkradio.com. Well, folks, Mark Twain, as I mentioned, loved science and invention with so much that he lost almost all his money pursuing it. In addition to the elastic strap and the scrapbook, he also invented a trivia game, but it was his belief in the Paige, P-A-I-G-E, typesetting machine, a device that he was convinced would make him much money as a publisher, that almost ruined him. This typesetting machine was a marvel to behold and worked beautifully when it worked, and which wasn't often. It was prone to breakdowns, but Twain could not be deterred, and he poured, are you ready for this, an equivalent of $7.5 million in refining the machine that never worked properly. He stuck by the machine and its inventor for 14 years, and then just when it seemed close to being perfected, a better machine, the Linotype, came along and made Paige instantly obsolete. The point here isn't that Mark Twain was a fool, but that innovations and breakthroughs never come without risk, and accepting risk is part of what it takes to truly succeed. Twain almost lost it all, but he made a comeback with his spirit and by having to recoup the loss by going on his famous lecture tour that Hal Holbrook had made so famous. But it's the competition, the belief that things can be done better, and the race to make it so that matters and personifies Twain's spirit like no one else. And that is why you have to admire people that are in the arena and for people who, in fact, go and try and try and try and try. And if you have any opinions about Mark Twain, about the Linotype, or maybe his Paige machine, why not give us a call, 914-636-0110. 914-636-0110. You're listening to WVOX Radio 1460 on your dial. This is Brand Talk, and this is Dr. John Tantillo. So there's a lot of interesting items that are on that I would like to discuss, and one of them I feel very, very strongly about, and I don't want to get political because we don't get political here, but when I mention the topic, people will immediately know what I'm referring to, and it's a result of this political figure why it has come to the foreground. And that's the perception of people who are overweight. And all my life, I was overweight, and I still fight to be the weight that I am. And I'm still not where I want to be. But but what was going on in the press, and the one person that I really, you know, I'm really upset with is a columnist by the name of Michael Kinsley, and he wrote in Bloomberg, I believe it's here. Yeah, Bloomberg, Requiem for a Governor Before He's in the Ring. And basically in this article, he talks about that, he doesn't feel that, Chris Christie cannot be president. He's just too fat. That's how that's the first sentence. And I don't care whether or not you like Christie or not like him. I just think that, to me, it's name-calling. And since I was a kid, and I know how nasty kids can get, even though they're darlings, and we love children because they are our future, it's just insensitive. And I was pretty upset about that. And like I said, there's a reason why the Biggest Loser is such a popular show, because most people in this country have to face this weight issue, and it's just I not really a big fan of that kind of criticism. So on another front, Frank Bruni, the food critic of the New York Times, had something to say about it as well. And he basically says, downgrade Christie for his trunculate style. Reject him for his limited experience. But don't dwell on his heft, at least not to the extent that many Americans have been whispering. And some are now outright saying you should. And he goes on to say, girth does not equal character, and metal has better measurement than the number of scoops in your post-dinner sundae or miles in your pre-breakfast run. Touche to him. It's in the New York Times. It's called The Round in the Oval, Frank Bruni, October 1st. But now we have a call-up. Okay, caller, what's your name, where you're from, what's your brand?
I'm Laura from New Rochelle.
Yes, Laura. Well, thank you for calling, Laura.
Yes, I have a question. How come certain products are known by the brand name so successfully? For example, the cotton swab is commonly known as a Q-tip when Q-tip is just a brand.
Well, that companies, it's Laura, correct?
Yes.
Laura, wonderful question. And companies spend millions of dollars so that they can get you, the consumer, to say that, to ask for that product by name. Because once they do that, you will, in fact, not purchase a cotton swab, but you'll purchase a Q-tip.
Right. Yeah, but there's other brands. Q-tip is a brand, and there's a Johnson & Johnson, but we always say, oh, I need Q-tips. I don't say, oh, I need cotton swab.
That's right, because they were the first in the marketplace that shaped the attitudes and opinions of the public on what, in fact, they want they would like you to respond to, and that's what it is. So it's basically you are being reminded by Johnson & Johnson of that brand, and so it is more likely for you to purchase that brand, unless it's during times where people are going to trade in a brand name for a better price. And that's what the people of Procter & Gamble find, that generally speaking, during times of recessions, their traditional brands, brand names and brands, their sales decrease because people, in fact, go to lesser known brands or the more budget brands, or what they call the more private brands with the no name label.
Got it.
Has that been helpful?
Yes, it has.
Well, thank you so much, Laura, for calling.
Thank you.
Okay, Laura.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye. So if you have a question on brands, it's 914-636-0110. That's 914-636-0110. That's Brand Talk here on WVOX. And we simply love to hear from you. And here we have, as I had mentioned before, Laura called in this Frank Bruni story in the New York Times. So anyway, I think people have to be very, very careful when criticizing other people. And remember that even in politics, name-calling has no place when it's a personal attack like that. So anyway, that's what I would just like to say. Something a few days ago, friend of mine had come to me with an exciting new product. He was he's a 21-year-old young man, very good looking. He's actually a male model, fashion model, and he's 21 and very bright. I was going for a degree in engineering, and he decided to postpone that to become an entrepreneur. And his parents are professionals. So can you imagine when he said to his parents, I'm quitting school, and what I want to do is I want to pursue this enterprise. I said, well, wow. So I was in Maine. I was in Portland, Maine, and giving a presentation, my Brand Talk presentation. And I met him, and he has pursued me and helping him with some of the branding issues. And the name of his company, or the name of his product line, and now you have to understand, these are almost, they're not entirely vegan products, but they're healthcare products, or not healthcare, health food products, okay? So alternates to meats. Okay, vegetable substitutes, and he wants to target college students because they're much more open to this. And I mean, I tried the vegan thing; I simply can't do it. I just can't do it. But anyway, he told me the name, and I'm going to mention the name, and I'm be interested to see what you folks think of it. But the name that he called it. Are you ready for this? And you can go on the internet and find it. It's called Roargasms. Roargasms. And since I'm a kind of like a older guy, an older branding guy, I didn't really think it was really a term that would go after my target market. And he very astutely said, but you're not my target market. Young people are. And when I tested it, when he told me, when I tested the name, my fellow students, my friends loved it. And I thought about it. And isn't that what branding is all about? And here is a real-life example. Here's the 21-year-old telling me that I got a good brand name and people are responding to it. My people, my target market. And that's the secret in marketing, knowing your target market and worrying about the name that will appeal and differ, what we call in marketing, differentiates yourself. But it's not only the name. That's the first step. And then what he did is he has a great graphic where he has a heart, a graphic of a heart that is formed by roots and vegetables and things that are in fact healthy for you. And I think that that's very, very strong marketing. And you, when you do a campaign, the first thing you have to do is, who are you appealing to? Who's your target market? And based on that, that's where you promote the heck out of it. And remember, a brand is more than a name. So what do Rawgasms do? He's saying it with this graphic. He's saying that it's making you healthy. But now what he needs is the slogan. And we're working on that. And by the way, I just would like to say for the record, I am not getting paid for this. This is pro bono work, and I'm giving this as an illustration of just what you would want to do if you were starting your own business or your own brand. So I just have to tip my hat to this young man who's very excited. And we'll be moving out to California very soon, so that we'll be seeing him soon. And folks, another week is up. So listen to Brand Talk every Wednesday from 3 to 4 here on WBOX 1460 on your AM dial. This is Dr. John Tantillo saying, it's always easier when you keep your brand in mind.
No download or subscription fees here.
For you, it's tax-free.
Entertainment the way it should be.
Free.
AM.